For Sonatas and Soundscapes and South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller. Those who insist that speaking about music is akin to dancing about architecture would do well to take a few preliminary steps with Colombia-based conductor Nisan Ak. A native of Istanbul, Turkey, Ak knows that a little preparation before taking in a performance can go a long way. Recently, she provided a few helpful and interesting insights into the works that will be featured in an upcoming performance entitled Mystery and Joy with the Brook Chamber Orchestra. Here's part of the conversation we had about those works, compositions by Mendelssohn and Wagner, as well as the ensemble playing under her baton.
Well, Nisan, it's great to have you today.
Hello, Bradley. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Great.
You conduct the Brook Chamber Orchestra, which is a group which gave its first performance last year?
Yes.
And that was supposed to be a one-time kind of deal?
I like the story, actually. It was, a one-time project where I conducted the Brook Violin Concerto with Isabel Ong, who is also a student, a DMA student, violin student at the USC School of Music. And I was not expecting something that is like so many audience and followers after and stuff. And we ended up creating a really good recording and a film and posted it online. And it was also an unexpected kind of success. So I decided that, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. And then I had to find a name. And I just decided to not change the name. So now it's Brook Chamber Orchestra.
And so you don't necessarily perform Brook on every program?
No. That was the only Brook we have performed just yet. Although I do want to perform some other stuff of him.
A nod to German romantic composer Max Bruch. But as you said, you have some other composers in mind for upcoming performances, including one on the 18th titled Mystery and Joy.
Yes.
Where did you get that title from?
Well, I got that title because we are performing two Mendelssohn pieces and one Wagner piece. And I feel like even though the two Mendelssohn pieces are in minor key, I think they are the most joyful.
You know, you're really challenging people here.
Like, I know.
Minor can't be happy, right?
I know. I think Mendelssohn is the most joyful composer ever.
I agree.
But Wagner, even though it's a major key, it's mysterious and weird. And things happen, you know, just like Wagner.
Yeah, well, what pieces are you talking about here?
So we will start with Mendelssohn's Fingal's Cave Overture. And then we will move on with a Siegfried Idyll. And then we're going to have a break. And then after, it's going to be Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto.
So Mendelssohn, Wagner, Mendelssohn.
Wagner sandwich.
I don't know, would Wagner want to be surrounded by Mendelssohn?
I don't think so.
Well, maybe it's his just desserts then.
Yes.
well, let's get into some of these pieces a little bit. You mentioned the Fingal's Cave Overture. Mendelssohn was inspired by a trip he took to Scotland. This is a...
Yes, to Hebrides. And they don't know if he actually stepped onto the island or not, but he saw it. And we know it because he sent a letter to his wife. He said how beautiful it was and how inspired he was. And this is supposed to be, this is not a tone poem. This is an overture, which is, you know, traditionally belongs to an opera, but it's a concert overture. It does not belong to anything after that. It's a standalone piece. But when you do listen to it, I think you can hear the waves. So Fingal's Cave, if you go look it up, it looks magical. It looks amazing, and it looks man-made, actually. And it's very inspiring. I've never seen it, but I've seen like YouTube videos and pictures, and it still looks mesmerizing. It's impossible to be not inspired by that. So I think even though it doesn't have a program, Fingal's Cave Overture, I think the whole piece is about the feeling, what he got when he saw the Fingal's Cave.
So this kind of inspiring natural sight, something, you know, romantic would of course just be taken with.
Like, yes.
a hole in the ground, but in the most exalted, glorified sense.
It is. It's a very beautiful piece.
So a little scene painting there, perhaps, in that overture. And then the program progresses to Wagner's Siegfried Idyll.
Yes.
You said it was mysterious.
Yeah. So actually, this is my feeling about Wagner. It sounds mysterious, but I feel like, you know, there are some movies, some books that if you read them twice or see them twice, it makes more sense. I feel like this is the same thing about Siegfried Idyll and most of the Wagner pieces. First, your brain understands it, and then if you listen to it second time, you get into the details, then you discover even more things. So when I first listened to Siegfried Idyll, it did sound mysterious. And there are indeed mysterious moments in it. But it's actually a very tender, soft, caring piece. So it does have a program. This is a tone poem. It was written to Richard Wagner's wife, Cosima Wagner. At that time, their child, Siegfried, was just born. So Wagner wrote this piece and premiered it in Lucerne at 7:30 a.m. at the first floor of their house with a 15-piece orchestra as a birthday present to Cosima.
Oh.
So he woke Cosima up with this piece. It's so beautiful. It's so romantic.
Happy birthday.
I know.
7:30 a.m. though, like.
Yeah, well, I guess they wake up at that time. I know. So beginning of Wagner. So there is a rule in music. It's called the three rule. The three rule is basically this. First time the theme or the motif comes, you understand. The second time it comes, you now know it's a repeating thing. Third time when it comes, now you have an expectation that it's going to be the same. You collected data in your brain. You now know what's going to happen. You're expecting that it's going to happen again. But it doesn't. It's the three rule in music. And then if most of the time, I don't know all of the music in the world, but most of the time, if something comes in classical music three times, the third time is going to be different. Wagner does that in this very beginning of Siegfried Idyll. When the first theme comes, the qualities are soft and tender. Qualities of the chord is soft and tender, right? The theme comes again, second time. Now we're in A major. It was E major first. Now we're in A major. It's the same qualities in the chord. The third time when it comes, now it's very stressful and it's unstable. It always has this arrival feeling, but the moment that you feel that arrival, Wagner puts you into the other corner and then be like, no, you were wrong, now we're going here. And then again, he does that again, and then he's done that. The third time, it's longer and it's unstable, it's stressful, and whenever you do feel some sort of a arrival feeling, 1 second later, Wagner tells you that you are not right. This is actually where we're arriving. And then finally, it arrives to somewhere, and it's all the way back to beginning. And you have to remember, Cosima is still sleeping, right? So Wagner wanted to make sure that his wife hears this beautiful melodies. So not only these repeats mean something in the music, abstract way, it also has a very practical meaning. He wants his wife to hear the music.
Right, it would be a shame to compose all this and then have the recipient miss out.
Yeah, and the program is supposed to be that in the very beginning, Wagner is imagining Cosima together with Siegfried, and Siegfried is in the crib, and you know, Cosima is taking care of the baby. And then she's trying to put the baby in sleep. Then she's like imagining Siegfried in his youth, in different situations. And in all those different situations, you can hear the piece changing, the mood is changing. And this was written before the Siegfried opera. So Wagner didn't really have those leitmotif ideas just yet, but he actually took it from here, some of the ideas. Wagner has this C major idea. Like whenever he writes C major, he tend to write something about triumph. And at that moment here, when there's a C major passage, Cosima is picturing his son in a triumph. And E major for Wagner is quiet world. So it does start E major. And it starts super quiet and tender and soft. And it's like a baby.
Baby, a toddler, yeah.
Yeah, mother caring for a baby. And then things happen, of course, just like Wagner. And then the piece ends just like it began, with E major and with that soft, tendering moment.
So she's coming back to reality?
Yeah, she's okay. Waking up.
And then finally, this program moves to the joy component, the other joy component,
yes.
Mendelssohn's violin concerto. Actually, I think one of two violin concerti he wrote, but when you say Mendelssohn's violin
yeah.
concerto, this is the one.
Yeah, this is the E minor violin concerto. It's pretty straightforward being a concerto. It has three movements. It has a soloist. Important. I actually, so this was 1845, right? It's not early. It's not like Mozart or Beethoven. But when you do look at the music, it kind of sounds like it could have been earlier. You know, Siegfried Idol was only premiered, I don't know, 35 years after this. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like, what I'm saying is this, I think Mendelssohn belongs more to the classical, even though it is considered as a romantic composer. I feel like it's easier to listen in terms of the chords and the forms and the fact that he's not trying to create a new world with his sounds. I think the most interesting thing for me about the concerto is the ending. So this is a concerto in E minor, right?
Right.
So think like you are going to a concert and someone's saying you, this is going to be a violin concerto in E minor. You set expectations. This is going to be in a minor key. And maybe second movement can be in major, but the third movement probably is going to be back to E minor. And, you know, it can be very sad or something like that. You are building expectations. And Mendelssohn is building all of these expectations for you. And then the third movement starts. The third movement starts in E minor for a minute. Then plot twist. It's in E major. I love it. I love it. He didn't want people to go home with a sad feeling.
He's
I think.
Vindicating all the people who say major is happy and minor is sad.
I am. I get. I don't want to put these feelings on you, but those were my expectations. When I see something or hear something or expect to hear something in E minor, I have certain expectations, and the audience of that time did have certain expectations as well. Just like song form is the main form of this century, concertos and symphonies were the main form of 19th and 18th century. So people knew what to expect. And this music has a plot twist. I love it.
Now, who's soloing for this performance?
Ari Streisfeld. He is a violin professor at the USC School of Music, and we are so lucky to have him. He just moved to South Carolina, I think, 2 years ago or so. Before here, he was in New York, mostly, because he was mostly touring the whole world with Jack Quartet. He was one of the original members of the Jack Quartet. For those who don't know Jack Quartet is a modern music making quartet, and their name Jack comes from their first letter of the name. So Ari is the A of Jack, original A of Jack. And before I moved to South Carolina, I saw their concerts in New York, and I was already a fan of them. I was a big fan of Jack Quartet. So this is a huge concert for me, because I am conducting one of the members of the Jack Quartet. I'm like feeling great about it.
Well, it sounds like some exciting works programmed for this concert on the 18th, Mystery and Joy. All the best with the remaining rehearsals, and all the best with the future of the Brooke Chamber Orchestra.
Thank you, Bradley, and thank you for having me.
Part of a conversation I had with Columbia conductor Nissan Ak, who leads the Brooke Chamber Orchestra this Friday, October 18th at 7:30 p.m. for a concert including Wagner's Siegfried Idol, Mendelssohn's Fingal's Cave Overture, and his violin concerto, with Ari Streisfeld soloing. The concert is being given at the Hootie Johnson Hall at USC's Darla Moore School of Business in Columbia, and is presented by the Robert S. Handler Charitable Trust. For Sonatas and Soundscapes and South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller.